The Manscaped Performance Package 5.0 Ultra has everything you need to prepare that summer bod. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Inside this package, you'll find the star of the show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmers features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. We also have dual LED spotlights to provide contrast on multiple skin tones, three length setting combs, and oh, did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Beach, lake, shower, this razor will devour even the strongest pubes. Now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecues. The Crop Soother, aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-chafe ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 5.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. More wet products? Say no more. Manscaped's new Buff Bundle is all you need to keep the summer heat a breeze. The bundle includes their signature silicone scrubber and body wash. Ditch your nasty loofah. Grab a taste of fresh.
Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to Double Prospects Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is report number 87. I'm Victor Nuno here, one of the co-hosts with me, Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, Victor. I'm good, man. I'm good. Enjoyed the World Juniors and the holiday season and all that. So, you know, life takes a little break in late December and then kind of gets back to normal. So, yeah, I made a huge trade in the DP and in the Peters League of the DPFHL or DPR Show League. Sorry. Did you see that?
It sounds like you really know what it's called. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a couple leagues, so, you know, forgive me on that one. But yeah, I made a huge trade. You know, I sent it to you to get your thoughts. And at the time you said, yeah, go for it. Made a minor tweak to it, but it's a done deal. So I'm all in on the rebuild. So this league's got to go more, at least one more season.
Yeah, no, you sent it to me and I was like, oh, it's a huge win. You got to do it. Why don't you tell them what it was?
Well, I've let go of Sidney Crosby, one of the best players in the league, but he's 37 and I'm not winning this year. And, you know, his production is probably not going to go up. And Will Cooley. And I got back a fair amount of youth. Utes. Let's see if I can find it here and go through the deets. Yeah, so Gabe Perreault was the big piece that I got back there. He's one of the big units from the Boston College roster, a New York Rangers draft pick, and I think he's a pretty close to surefire top six NHLer upside. Jack Quinn was the other forward I got that I have a lot of hope and expectations for. A little bit concerned about the fact that he's in the Buffalo organization, so we'll have to get past that. Carter Yakimchuk, one of the top defensemen from the last year's 2024 draft, I think he's pretty close to NHL ready. I think he was a contender for making the NHL right out of his draft year, but wisely the Sens allowed him to go back to the WHL, and well, we could have really used him at the World Juniors, I think. And then I was going to get one of your boys, David Yurchek, but I had him substituted out for someone who's a little bit closer to ready in Colin Graf, which I'm sure you're going to shake your head at me at, but you know, I like Yurchek, but I'm just not sure the impactful fantasy upside is attached to that file. And I don't want to wait 4 years to find out. And Colin Graf is pretty much good to go. She could be in the NHL as soon as the end of the season. And a second round pick. So it's quite a haul. It is the largest return offer I had received. I had some other offers that included a good prospect and then some throw-ins and some draft picks. I also got a second round pick in this as well, which is not nothing. But yeah, as far as quality of offers I was getting, this was by far and away the best. So I thank the Toronto Arenas for an easy transaction.
Yeah, Corey's a good guy. I like dealing with him. He's usually pretty reasonable. And yeah, I mean, I kind of honestly, I stopped looking after I saw Perreault and Yakimchuk. I was like, this is a huge win. Like, it doesn't really matter what else around that, quite frankly. And then you got the pick, Graf. Yeah, I mean, I'm not super excited about Graf. I think he might be a middle sixer, maybe a 50 point guy with upside for more. He's already kind of playing a little bit in the NHL, which is cool. So the wait time is small on that. And Quinn, actually, as you were talking, Jack Quinn scored. So there you go. I guess you're a genius. So no, I like it. I think that, it's always good to, this is a perfect dynasty trade, right? You sell a guy who's still very good, but like he's old, and maybe we have, hopefully we have a couple more seasons of great Crosby, but makes a lot of sense for you. And you get, I mean, Gabe Perreault, if he's anything close to what he's shown at the junior level, like he's just going to be insane, insanely good. And so, yeah, I think that's a, it's a win-win for both sides. You got to like it for Corey's side too, because he's getting a super impactful player now as he pushes for championships.
If he wins a ship out of it, I'm sure he'll be quite content, even if in a couple of years later some of these guys are mad fantasy value. But yeah, I think it's a win-win kind of trade. So you like to make those whenever you can.
Yeah. Well, that is not what we plan on talking about, but that's a good little teaser. We're actually going to talk about World Juniors, but we're not going to just recap the tournament. Hopefully, you've been hearing a lot of great discussion on that. A lot of our colleagues have done some great recapping. We did a little bit in our previous show, but today we want to talk about guys at the World Junior who changed our mind about their fantasy stock. Guys who either stock up, stock down, really shifted our opinion. Now, I will say that we try not to let one tournament completely change your mind about somebody, but this is kind of a shift that might have occurred for this player. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to kind of go through the teams and just have a discussion of each of the guys that stood out to us, really shifted our opinions. Before we do that, we want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet for all the great hockey podcasts. You can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. More on that in a bit. We're also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play. It's completely customizable for however you want to set up your league, from scoring categories, amazing draft room, draft trick trading, and all the bells and whistles. Go to fantrax.com/DPR show. For more. And with that, Pete, I suggested we kind of go team by team and really look at some of the players who might have really shifted this for us. And I think we'll kind of go in reverse order of like how they finished, which means Canada, you'll be kind of in the middle, so you won't have to wait for the end, which I guess is kind of cool. One guy I wanted to start with, and we don't, honestly, I don't know that there's really too much to talk about with Kazakhstan and Germany, although feel free if you want. But I will say Leonard Svelberg is a guy I think that's probably worth talking about. He's a goalie from Latvia who was just outstanding, stood on his head. He was not drafted, and I think that there's a good chance he is drafted. Now, to me, this comes down to league settings. If I was in a league right now where I could add him, I would be adding Leonard Svelberg right now, because I think that he has the potential to, get drafted, get affiliated with the team. He's playing in the Q, so he's in North America. He has some experience in these situations, and I'm not saying he's going to be like a starter or anything, but he seems like he's on a trajectory to at least get some pro reps at some point in 2 to 3 years. So I would be interested. I am not currently in a league where I could add him. All the leagues I'm in, they have to be affiliated with the team, and he probably will be re-entering the draft, and I think someone's going to take him. Pete, do you think someone's going to take a chance on him in 2025, maybe in like the middle rounds of the draft?
You mean in the NHL draft or in fantasy drafts? I don't know. I think you have to look at the whole body of work, right? Like the tournament was fantastic. We've seen lots of players have just lights out good world junior goalies, particularly lights out good world juniors, and then be okay in their league play and never really come close to sniffing the NHL. And he's actually in the CHL. He's in the Quebec Major Maritime Junior Hockey League. That's the new name now with Sherbrooke. He's got a 12-4-2 record there with 243 goals against average. I don't watch Sherbrooke games, So, I can't say if he's dominating, but he's their starting goalie for sure. He's got 22 games under his belt so far. Yeah, I he's 19. He's already passed over in the draft once. So he'd be a redraft player. Goalies mature a little later, and he's got decent height with 6'2", so there's no red flag there, right? He's not like he's 5'10" or 6 foot even or anything like that. So it's possible. I would certainly have to do a lot more scouting of him personally, just to kind of determine the larger body of work. Watch him play a couple different times throughout the season against lower teams, higher teams, maybe some playoff games as well. I mean, stakes don't get much higher than the World Juniors for some of these kids. So that was a pretty good indication, and I certainly liked what I saw from him in this tournament. If I were an NHL scouter or GM, I would consider drafting him in, the fifth, sixth, seventh round, something in that neighborhood, because the percentages of those players making the NHL is like 5% or less anyways. So you're not really risking a lot of draft currency. And you see what he can do in a sample size like this. It's worth the risk, absolutely. Would I be interested in if he does get picked in the NHL in the fourth, fifth, or seventh round or anything like that? Would I be interested in acquiring him on my fantasy roster? The answer at this time would be no. I think the wait time on him is too long because he's a goalie, and I don't think the upside is worth the time investment with this player. That's my opinion. If he gets, let's hypothetically speaking, Victor, let's say Pittsburgh drafts him in the fifth round. Does he make your draft list in a 5-round fantasy draft?
I would definitely draft him at the end of a deeper league just because there's a couple leagues that I'm in where you can't find any goalies. Like all the goalie, you go search by goalies and they're all like NA guys, not affiliated with teams, undrafted. There's literally no one available. So, and I'm in some, 32 team and slightly shallower leagues. And those kinds of leagues, I think it is worth it because those are the kind of leagues where guys are taken and literally sat on for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And that might be how long it takes. And so, but I think in that situation, yes. But in shallower leagues, certainly in like 14 team leagues or something like that, no, I definitely would not. I think that's, I would just wait and see how he does moving forward.
Another layer to that that would make me more interested in drafting him is if I felt like there was more interest in him than I have, and I have the opportunity to draft him, and then maybe what did I say he plays with? Sherbrooke? Maybe they go on a nice playoff run if they make Memorial Cup or something like that, and people are like, oh my God, that was that Latvian goal that was lights out good at the World Juniors. He beat Canada, and now he's taking his team to the Memorial Cup. Then I would trade him. I think there's a potential for good trade value there that you can get more than a fifth round's worth of pick, right? You draft him in the fifth round, his value increases. You say, well, he could be yours for a third round pick in next year's draft. And someone might do that, and that was something that I would be interested in.
Well, now you're playing 4D chess. That's really a good suggestion, I would say. Let's move on to Switzerland, who I don't think had too much to talk about, but one guy, there's a couple guys I wanted to mention. One is Noah Neuenschwander, who was the 15-year-old who made this team. He didn't really stand out, but that's insane that he was that young, a forward. Already 6'3" at 1580 pounds. That's crazy. More just to like keep your eye on him as he moves, closer to his draft eligibles seasons, which he's still a couple of seasons away, but he's going to be a fun one to watch. But the guy I wanted to mention is Christian Kirch, who was a San Jose Sharks draft pick, and he played a few of the games. He's 6'4", 196 pounds. He's kind of a young goalie for last year's draft class. He's a fourth round pick. The main reason I wanted to mention him is that he is not doing so well in his club. He hasn't played too much club. He had just a little bit in the NHL and USHL, but he looked really awful in this tournament. He let in some really soft goals. And I didn't think that, Switzerland wasn't in a lot of games and they were kind of overwhelmed, but some of the goals he let in were really soft. And I was kind of expecting more from him because I'd seen a little bit at the Sharks prospect camp and, some other clips of him. And I thought, okay, maybe this guy has more to give. And it is just one tournament, so I wouldn't go selling your stocks of Kristen Kirsch if you have any, but he is going to UMass next year, so you know that's still plenty of time and potential to work it out. But he's someone who I don't think this tournament did him any favors. Did you happen to notice him at all?
Not in a good way. So if you've got stock in him and someone wants to buy it, sell, sell, sell. That's my opinion. Yeah, not too many other players on Swiss really stood out. I was looking for Leon Moogley, a player in last year's draft who kind of captured my attention a little bit. He had a good World Juniors last year. He's a defenseman, and he had 3 points in five games, and he didn't really stand out as much as he did last year, so I've kind of lost my appetite for that particular player, and there wasn't really anyone else on Sweden that, or sorry, Switzerland, that I thought was really moving the needle with fantasy relevancy at all.
Yeah, agree. Let's move over to the least exciting, another one of the least exciting teams, and that was Slovakia, who have some drafted prospects, and none of them, to me, I think, move the needle too much. And so, Maxim Štrbák, I was kind of hoping a little more from him. Same with Dvorsky, although he did certainly have his moments and look pretty good at times, but I mean, to me, he's really, kind of a more offensive. A guy in the right situation, he can be really good. He didn't have a ton of support, but he still had, 9 points in five games, which is really great. So to me, my opinion of him really stayed the same. He's a strong offensive guy. But I didn't really have anyone else shift on me for Slovakia. Did you have anyone there?
No, but one other player I was interested in watching a little bit more of was Jakub Chromiak. He played for Kingston for a little bit, and at the start of last year's draft class season, he was one of the more higher rated prospects going into the draft in his draft year, and had a very, very, very underwhelming and disappointing season, and his value fell rather quickly and rather sharply. Kingston acquired another import player and made him expendable and traded him to Kitchener. So he's had a few games in Kitchener this season. And he's a pretty decently talented offensive defenseman. He's 6 foot, so he's not small, but doesn't play a very physical game. He's not great defensively. He's actually got 17 points in 25 games with Kitchener this season. So that's kind of recaptured my attention, like, okay, so maybe it was just the condition in Kingston that were not conducive to him being particularly effective. But this is actually his third season in the OHL, his third team. He started with Sudbury, and then he went to Kingston last year after 7 games in his second season in Sudbury. And then Kingston had enough of him after one season. So I was like, okay, let's see what he can do at the World Juniors. He'll be probably looked at to be one of the more prominent defensive offensive players for Slovakia, and he was, and he was getting more ice time at the mint at the beginning of the tournament, and I thought that his role diminished as the tournament went on, and he became less and less effective, and yeah, it just kind of reaffirmed the trend that we'd been seeing and the opinion that I had of him, and that's disappointing, because I want to see these kids succeed. We want everyone to be successful. So I was kind of hoping that Chromiak could carry the momentum that he's had from his play in Kitchener this season and recapture the attention of some scouts in this tournament. I wasn't confident that or yeah, I wasn't confident that that was going to happen, but I was optimistic for it, and unfortunately it didn't pan out.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. So let's move on from Slovakia then, because there's plenty of other interesting guys to talk about on the other main teams, I would say. So I guess we have to go with Canada because they were the next lowest seed, right?
You have to.
Well, there's no shortage of guys that I think were disappointing. Was there anyone who you think really improved their stock or was really kind of open your eyes a little bit?
Yeah, Matthew Schaefer, I think he improved his stock in 2 games that he played, and or sorry, 4 periods. His loss was difficult for Canada to overcome, which speaks volumes about two things: the selection process that was applied to Team Canada, and his play in the tournament. He was as advertised, and it's really unfortunate that he had that injury. But otherwise, the only other player that I think stood out in a positive way with Canada would be the goalie, Carter George. He kept Canada from being, well, they were embarrassed anyways, but like this could have been so much worse. If they, can you imagine how bad this would have been if they had bad goaltending?
Yeah, well, it's hard to imagine it would have been, but yeah, you're right. It would have been because he was quite good in this tournament. I agree.
They wouldn't have been in the semifinals, and they might have been playing a relegation team.
Yeah.
Like, that's, think about how difficult it was for Canada to score. And if they had to score four goals a game, like there could have been, and then after you gave up a 4 or 5 goal lead, things can kind of get a little out of hand. Players can start mailing it in, and scores can run away on you. So that had the potential to be like nightmare territory for Canada, if not for Carter George and his consistent and steady and outstanding play. He didn't let in really any bad goals. What about you? Anyone outside of Carter George that you were like, you know what, that was, or Schaefer, that's the low-hanging fruit here, but there were some individual plays in games that we could maybe focus on from a player or two that made some really nice plays. Anyone there jump out at you though?
Yeah, I think, I totally agree with Schaefer. And the other guy I wanted to mention, two guys. One is on the negative side, so I'll hold him. But Luca Pinelli, I was impressed with him a little bit. He's small, he's scrappy, he has some skill. He went to the tough areas. He did a lot of the things that I think they were hoping some of the other guys would. I mean, he only had a couple of points, but I thought that was pretty good. He still has a lot to prove as a smaller guy, but he definitely doesn't back down from anyone, and he's I think got he had a little bit more skill than I thought. I'm still not super high on him, but I think a little bit more excited than I was. And so that was cool. He stood out in ways I thought other guys would, and so that was kind of interesting. And I think the other guy, Bradley Nadeau, on a positive, I think they misused Nadeau in so many ways. I think they could have really accentuated his skills. You think of how the US used Cole Iserman, and they just put him in a situation to succeed. They accentuated his skills, they limited his ice time, and just gave him the right opportunity. And I know there may have been some politics there that they might not have been able to maybe do that with Nadeau, but it just seems like they, with a lot of the Canadian forwards, they put him in the wrong spots or the spots where they weren't comfortable or couldn't be most successful. But when he was where he should be, when he was on that flank and he could utilize his shot, you could see why he's already scoring professional goals and why I think the future for him is really bright. So I'm not sure that necessarily changed that much, but it definitely reaffirmed. And some people were really questioning, his inclusion. But to me, that was, and we didn't see enough of it. Because we just didn't see enough games or enough, points in general from the whole team. But that was someone who I thought I was a little bit impressed with. Any thoughts on those two before I mention a negative?
Well, I think we could use Nadeau as a nice segue over to the negative. I mean, this is a player that I didn't have a lot of viewings of, right? Like, he's come from the BCHL and the University of Maine in the NCAA. So, I don't get a lot of opportunity to watch NCAA games here in Canada. TSN shows a few, especially the Beanpot and stuff, but like UMaine is never on the broadcast. It's always higher end schools. And then, he's played one NHL game and 24 games this season in the AHL with the Chicago Wolves. So I know I've read all the scouting reports and I see his scout line and I like everything that I see from him, but I was really excited to get some exposure to this player and seeing him play kind of regularly for a couple of weeks here. And I came out wanting. I was a little disappointed. I felt like he did not live up to the hype. I mean, he was Canada's top goal scorer, but 2 goals doesn't really, I think, entitle you to bragging rights at all. In 5 games, he had no assists. I felt that he was not as effective on the power play as I was hoping. I think he was a big part of why Canada's power play was inefficient. I didn't feel like he moved the puck very well. And yeah, overall, I was just like, he's not bringing anything else to the game besides offense, and all the offense he brought was just two goals. So
But I think a
yeah.
big part of that is how they used him. They asked him to do something he wasn't good at. To me, that's not on the player. He's really good at his shot, scoring goals. He's gotten better at his playmaking. He's gotten better at driving the net, but that's not why he is there. So if you're asking him to do something that is not really his skill set, that's kind of on the coach and the management, the coach really, in my opinion. So he did what he was supposed to do.
Sure. I mean, and that kind of goes with Oliver Bonk as well, like having him run Canada's power play was like, he doesn't even do that in his on his club team in the OHL. So why are we asking him to do that in this situation? That was kind of weird. But yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on from Nadeau. I mean, there's a lot of other players on Canada, like pretty much all the players we could talk about as a bit of a disappointment. I think one that I kind of want to talk about that I think it's a little bit interesting is Porter Martone. He played three games. He was a healthy scratch for a couple. He scored a very important goal to give Canada life late in their game against Czechia, I believe it was. And again, this is, I think, a deployment thing with the coach. And a lot of the players, I think, would complain about the way they were deployed by their coach. And a lot of Canada would complain about the coaching also. But where I want to talk about Martone is, and you mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, how you don't use the World Junior Tournament or tournaments to really change your opinion on players very much. And one of the themes we always have in the World Junior Tournament is the draft eligible players. So you've got Martone, Schaefer, and Higgins as some of the big name players. These are all guys that are contending for first overall that were all in this tournament. And I think Higgins, if anything, helped his draft stock. Same with Matt Schaefer, even though he played four periods. But I can't say that for Porter Martone. I think I'm not so ready to say he hurt his draft stock, but he certainly didn't improve it any. What do you think about that? Do you think he hurt his draft stock a little bit, or his play improved in that last game there, and that helped a little bit of redemption for his perception on the draft? Or, the draft rankings should be about projections, what these players will become at the height of their powers in the NHL, not what they are at 18 years old, even though he has a probably an age advantage over everyone else in the top five of the draft.
Yeah, I think again it's just more of the usage. When he was used in a top six role on the power play, he showed what he can do. When he was used in a bottom six role, which is realistically not what he's going to be doing, it's not what he's doing at his club level, it's not what he should be doing in the NHL. It didn't look as good. So I'm not sure that we can read too much into it. There was a lot of times when he didn't play, when he was scratched. He is a young kid. I think the rest of his body of work speaks for itself, and I'm not sure that it's going to necessarily influence, nor should it really, quite frankly, in my opinion, too much of what they're going to think of Martone. And so I'm not sure that it affected it too much, and it didn't change too much for me. When I saw him in the right situation, he did what I thought he could do, and when he was in the less opportune situation, it didn't look as good, which is kind of what I would expect. So it didn't shift too much for me, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a really influential and dominant player in games at the OHL level. And even at the Top Prospects Challenge, he was really flexing his muscle and his skill and standing out in a really positive manner in a lot of ways in those two games. And so I was kind of hoping to see more of that. I was just kind of hoping to see him imposing his will on the momentum and outcome and possession of the game. And it didn't really happen too much. Nice tip, though, on that goal, though. That was a beauty. All right, that's enough of Canada.
Wait, I have one more guy.
Okay, sure.
One more guy. And that's Sam Dickinson. And the thing about we've talked a lot about Sam Dickinson on the show, but I think Canada and everybody thought, well, once Schaefer went down, which first of all, Schaefer being better than Dickinson is already kind of a knock against him, although it's more of a plus for Schaefer, I would say. But when they did finally hand the reins over to Dickinson and said, you're going to play all these situations and you're going to get the top minutes and run the offense and everything, it just didn't look great. You know, I think a lot of those decision-making issues that were talked about last year, you saw it in some of the big moments. I mean, the hand pass or block into his own goal. I mean, you know, he's trying to do the right thing. It was kind of unfortunate. I'm not really even talking about that, but there were a lot of other decision-making things that he, you know, turnovers that he had, missed passes, missed opportunities. I just don't think that he is as good as, you know, maybe some people think. I think he'll be a fine, like, middle pairing guy if that's who they have, if that's how they use him. But if you're thinking he's going to be your number one DL situations, like the guy that Sharks passed on, Ziv Bouyim, I think that you're going to be a little disappointed in your fantasy league. So to me, it was just further emphasizing that I think that there are some issues there with Dickinson having too much responsibility and too much expectation for his offense to flourish. I still think there's a possibility, but it was kind of disappointing and kind of, to me, kind of furthered that narrative that I'm not sure that there's as much there as people might hope for.
Well, that's interesting. I remember in his draft year, just last year, you were also not as keen on him, certainly from a fantasy perspective as an NHL value perspective as well. I kind of hard to disagree with you that I think his NHL upside is more attractive than his fantasy upside. And then he goes out and torches up the OHL to the tune that he's done this season. And kind of makes me second guess that a little bit, but doing that as an 18-year-old in the OHL versus doing it at the pro level is going to be very different things. All
Yeah,
right.
definitely. So, check here.
Sure, yeah, let's get off Canada. I don't want to beat up on the kids. They did their best. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours.
So who on Czechia do you want to start?
Sure, yeah, there's a couple guys on Czechia that I thought were really good. So going into this tournament, I think we did an episode at the beginning when we were doing our fantasy draft for it, and Michael Hrabal was the top player I thought for Czechia. I thought he was going to be their most important player, and he was a very important player for them. He played six games and had a 4-2 record, so he was great. But he didn't carry the team on his back. He kept them in games, but I wouldn't say Czechia was out there goalieing other teams, and he wasn't bullying other teams into losses and stealing wins. He had a lot of support. This is a well-balanced team. And Jakub Stancil up front with 10 points in 7 games, 7 goals. This is a player, it's a St. Louis Blues draft pick, and he wasn't really on my radar at all, but he's a player who at the beginning of the tournament, if you asked me about him, I would have said, don't really know him. And if you would have asked me, does he have any sort of NHL potential, I would say, probably not. I mean, he's a fourth round pick. He's having a nice season in the dub with Kelowna, but chances of him making the NHL are pretty slim. And now I would say, I wouldn't say they're pretty good, but I would say, here's a player who's a 106 overall pick, and he's trending in the right direction. What I saw from him in this tournament was he's an okay skater. He's got great size and he can play a solid two-way game. And last year's World Juniors, he was a point of game player as well, practically with 6 points in 7 games. And then he improves on that as a 19-year-old, as one would expect. And like I mentioned, he's played pro hockey previously in the SHL for a cup of coffee, and then he's got a really nice season under his belt right now. He's over a point a game player in the WHL, and so next year he'll be turning pro, and I wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis put him in the American Hockey League, and then that will be a really good indication as to what sort of fantasy value we can be expecting, or what kind of NHL potential that'll really put a a clarification lens over his upside and future. So yeah, he's a player that stood out to me. Any thoughts on Stancil?
Yeah, I was definitely going to mention him too. I kept thinking when I was, watching, and then you look up and you see, one of the Czechia forward do something really cool. It's like, oh, that must have been Chalet. And often it was Chalet, but often it was Stancil too. And it was like, whoa, that was cool. That just made you notice things that he was doing. And you see the size, you see the skating, like he moves around pretty well. He's an absolute horse. Like, guys will just bounce off of him. He'll dive the net. Like, yeah, I'm surprised he's not doing better than he currently is. I've heard rumors that he's on the move out of Kelowna, although maybe not. But that was interesting. The points were certainly there, and yeah, his potential in some of these analytical models looks pretty awful, quite frankly. He currently has 0% chance of being a star in the hockey prospecting model and just 16% chance of being an NHLer based on his WHL time. And part of that is because some of his J20 numbers previously weren't super high. But, I think that sometimes some of these guys break the model. He seems like someone who could. I still wouldn't be sending trade offers left and right for this guy, but Jakub Stancil is someone who I definitely have way more interest now than I thought I would. And, in a deep enough league, I'd be definitely interested. In fact, I did acquire him recently. He was like a minor part of a bigger trade, but it was kind of someone was asking like, who of these guys do you want? And I was like, oh, I'll take Stancil. It was just kind of a throw-in part, but I was like, why not? I'm not someone who likes to buy high on top world junior performances, but as a minor part of a trade, I think he's someone who is definitely a little bit more interesting. His PNHLE is currently 60, so it was like 15. So he's definitely getting a little bit more interesting. And I have to also agree and just mention about Hrabal. I thought if Czechia went as far as they did in this tournament, it would be because Michael Hrabal was stealing games and just, goalieing teams. And I don't think that happened at all in this tournament. Like he wasn't great. I don't even know that he was good half the time. He was just kind of like okay. And he made some decent saves for sure, but there were a lot of weak goals that went in. And it was definitely, as you said, the strength of this whole Czech team that actually showed how good they can be. And there's quite a number of returners on this team. Most of the top guys are moving on, like Hlinka, Hradek, Chalet, Stancil, and a couple of the defensemen and Hrabal are moving on. But they have a bunch of 18-year-olds and a couple of 17-year-olds who play in this tournament. So they should be still pretty decent moving forward, which is pretty interesting.
I think the Czechs are a perennially underrated team, and they're always a contender for a medal. And when everything comes together for them, they're a gold medal contender. They're not the most talented team, but they're really well coached. They play a really great team game. They've been getting great goaltending, and they can play the game in a lot of different ways. If you want to play a physical hard knock game, they can do that. If you want to play a defensive tight checking game, they can do that. If you want to try and run and gun, well, they got some guys that can wheel and score. They can, that's not their preference, but they can play that game as well. Edward Schala had a pretty strong tournament, I thought, too. And he's a player, we mentioned him on our last episode, so I won't beat him up too much here. I hadn't really had him on my radar very much. I'd looked into him. I didn't really like what I saw. He was on my do not draft list in his draft year. I didn't pick him. And I haven't regretted that until now. His consistency issues have been really concerning, or his lack of compete level sometimes, but he looked like a leader for this team, and he came through for them in some clutch moments. So, I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'm seeing it. Now, again, this is a small tournament, it's seven games, but I don't watch a lot of AHL games, and he's playing for Coachella, and he's putting up some pretty decent numbers, and they're a pretty good team. So, I think I'm saying I think there's something there. There could be an NHL player here. I'm not sure I see a top six player yet. I'm not sold on that. I've just gone from saying I don't think he's going to play in the NHL to I think we might have something here.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you on Charlotte. I think early on in our mid tournament review, I was still a little skeptical because what I had seen, I still wasn't sure yet. But the more the tournament went on and the more the pressure kicked up and the more he needed to be good in all situations, I thought that he was. You know, I
Yeah.
thought that, you know, we know that he can show up in some of the big offensive minutes, but I also thought he was really good in all situations. I saw him, you know, back checking. I saw some of his off puck play, being in the right position. Like, all he has to do is be average in those areas, and I think he's an NHLer. I'm not saying he's going to be a star NHLer, but I think that was really what was limiting him, and I saw huge progress there. And so that's, I'm changing my mind about Edward Chalet for sure.
Yeah, and then the shootout, scoring those two goals to win it in the shootout, like the pressure in that situation, 14 rounds in, just this must have been drowning in pressure and anxiety, and to come up and score those two goals there and stave off elimination and then clinch victory. Well done. Well, I tip my hat.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to, I guess we'd have to go to Sweden, right? Since they were the third, no, they were not a medalist.
Yeesh. Poor
Actually, we went out
Sweden.
of order. We should have gone Sweden first. My
Well, that'll
bad.
work. That's
Sorry,
all right. All
Czechia.
right.
Yeah, I think there are some interesting narratives here. One thing, I guess to me, one of the biggest things is I knew Tom Welander was a really good defenseman. I always said he'd be a better real life defenseman than a fantasy defenseman. But to me, the gap between him and ASP in this tournament, it closed a little bit. I think that Tom Welander showed that he is very capable at running a power play. He's got good offensive instincts, but he's not going to be the guy who ever cheats for offense, right? He's always going to be responsible. And I thought it was really interesting how they ran their power play, right? Because Velander was really the one at the point. ASP was over in the OV spot, you know, doing more of the
Yeah.
shooting. And Velander was the one creating the plays. He was making the passes. He's got great mobility, great movement. And we know he's a stud defensively. So to me, I still don't think that Velander is going to be like a, you know, 50, 60 point defenseman, but I think it's much more likely in my head that he's, you know, a 40 to 50 point guy who plays, you know, 22 to 24 minutes, and you know, gets a lot of periffs because he's just going to be out there a lot, and he's going to be trusted by the coaches. And so, to me, his stock went up even a little bit more. In particular, his offense, which I was a little bit more skeptical about.
Yeah, I've seen him play a couple times now at BU, and he's been very good. And in this tournament, I think he was Sweden's best defenseman, despite the fact that ASP doubled him in points. So this is how I would sum up the difference between the two. In a fantasy draft, I'm taking Axel Sandin Palicka first. In an NHL draft, I'm taking Tom Welander first. The fantasy value on ASP, I think, is higher. And that the real life value on Tom Welander is higher. I was really impressed with his game, and you're right. He was running the power play. Like I said about Emil Paniemi in the last episode too, he just gets pucks through the traffic in front, right? He's got a good enough shot that if you give him enough space back there and you give him a screen and someone that's really daft at deflections and tipping pucks, that's a huge threat. And then if you take away his time and space and come out and challenge him, then that opens up passing lanes to the sides, and he can put it right, not only on the stick, but like right in the wheelhouse, right? So guys can one time it. They can just blast it off the nice soft flat pass, and though that makes him very dangerous on the power play, and that's the strength of his offensive game. He's not nearly as good as sending Palicka at carrying the puck up the ice. ASP does that really, really, really nicely. It's fun to watch him carry the puck up the ice from behind his own net. But Tom Welander can make those nice breakout passes. So, he's got that going for him too. So those two defensemen for Sweden really stuck out to me. Other than those guys, Victor, just to kind of to move it forward a little bit, I thought they had a nice balanced offense. I think they had threatening offensive players guys that could create plays or finish from distance or weren't opposed to net front greasy goals. And I'm looking at Felix Ungersorum, Anton Wahlberg, Otto Stenberg, David Edstrom, and Victor Eklund, and even David Granberg as well. And it keeps going too down the list. Felix Nilsson had times as well in the tournament where he was very impressive, as did Zeb Forsell. So, Sweden had a really nice balanced offensive attack, and yeah, there's a lot of guys there, but players that I think move the needle for me a little bit. I was particularly looking for Felix Ungersorum at times in this tournament, and he wasn't hard to find. He looked good. And Victor Eklund, I think, is another draft eligible player. I neglected him. He's not necessarily, I don't think, at this point, at this stage in the draft year, a top five candidate, but we'll see come June. He really impressed me in this tournament. He did not look like an underage player.
No, he did not. I thought he was excellent, and I definitely think right now the upside for Victor Eklund is higher than William at the same stage. We'll see how that finishes, but he definitely looked better to me. Anton Wahlberg was another one who I thought was like a meh, I'm not sure how much offense there is there, so I'm definitely going to watch him closer. I think he was great. Felix Ungersorum, I was already really high on, and I think he might have even impressed me more than I expected. But he's
Right.
definitely a guy who he needs the right situation. Like he's a creator, he's a distributor. I think he needed he already was tied for the lead in points, but I think if they had a Lekkerimäki on this team, he would have had even more because he was that good at finding his teammates. They just didn't have exactly the finishers. But yeah, he's really, really good. Let's go to Finland, huh?
All right.
I think we have to say that Petteri Rimpinen was the star of the show. I mean, what a beast. Practically stole the gold medal from US. I mean, he was just absolutely ridiculous and very impressive. He didn't get drafted this past year, and he's another one who I think might get drafted. And I think he's been doing well in Liga. So, there's some proof of concept there with his club team. I'm also like, I think to me, same as the situation I said with the Latvian goalie, in a deep enough league with a late round pick, I might take a flyer on Petteri Rimpinen. He doesn't have the size that Fellsberg does. He's only 6 foot, but I mean, what an incredible showing. So I have some interest in a deep enough league for him. I imagine you're gonna say the same thing, and you might not, Pete. What do you think?
Yep, I sure am. He was Showtime all right. He was very good. And 6 feet is the reason why he's not been drafted yet. And I think his play in Liga this year and this tournament, if he can keep it up for the balance of the season and playoffs, then I think we have something here that's worth taking a look at drafting. I'd be more interested in him than Fellberg's, but that's just me. Yeah, and otherwise, let's see some Swedish players. Who didn't we talk about on the last episode that we could talk about here?
Finnish players, not Swedish.
Swedish, that's what I meant. Finnish, that's what I did twice.
Well, while you're thinking, I'm just going to say that Aaron Kiviharju, we mentioned him in the other show. And to me, he didn't necessarily change my mind in a good way or a bad way. It was kind of neutral. I have more respect for his two-way game because that was really good in this tournament. I didn't see a lot of offensive creativity. That was kind of what he was known for leading up to his draft season, where he kind of fell off. And there wasn't a ton of offensive creativity, but he was awesome at even strength. He really dictated play. And unfortunately, Mitch Brown didn't have his tracking data this year, but what we do have is Lassi Allinen did some tracking data. He only did it for Finland. And what you can see is that Aaron Kiviharju was an absolute beast, and he drove play to an insane level. When he was out there, he tilted the ice for his team. And honestly, that's one of the biggest reasons why Kiviharju wouldn't be, was drafted so late. Part of it's his size, and that he was more of an offensive guy and not necessarily an all-around guy. So this kind of shifts him more towards better NHLer probability. And I do think that that offense can still come back, so I think that there was a, in the end, it maybe wasn't as impressive as it could have been for Kiviharju. There wasn't this dominant performance, but he captained his team to a gold medal and nearly a gold medal win in the gold medal game. And he was great, even if the points aren't there in oodles to show for it. But I think he did himself some favors. And maybe it wasn't as positive as it could have been, but it was good.
Maybe it's because my hopes and expectations were that he would capture our attention, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember Kiviharju. Who's that guy that was like a top 10 first round pick? What happened to him? He didn't go there, but yeah, I can see it now. He just kind of was there. He got a lot of minutes for Finland. He was their number one defenseman and didn't run the power play. So that kind of hurt his offensive production, perhaps. Yeah, overall, I'd have to say I've come away watching him in this tournament wanting, like a lot of the other players that are on our negative list. I just wanted more from him. This was an opportunity for him to recapture some positive momentum and didn't blow it, right? Like he didn't reverse his value. He didn't look out of place. He didn't look bad. I guess I was just hoping for maybe expecting more and certainly hoping for more. Constant Hellenius is another player. If we're dying on Kiviharju, is another player, Victor, that I was kind of hoping for more. He's playing in the American Hockey League and he had no goals. He was 6 points in 7 games, all assists, so that's not bad. And you know, there's times where he had the puck and he did some pretty special things, so that was nice. And I think we talked about him on the last episode as well, but you know, he was just okay and a little bit inconsistent throughout the tournament, and inconsistency and compete level are some things that have been challenges for him in his draft rankings and through his career. And in the gold medal game in the third period there, he's a player I was thinking for Finland. It's like, okay, Finland, you got a shot at a gold medal here and you need someone to step up. And I'm looking at you, Hellenius, and I guess maybe more of the credit goes to USA than the criticism towards any Finnish player in that third period and most of the second period as well. Because when Team USA poured it on late in that gold medal game, there was just no denying them the gold medal, despite the lead that there was a 3-1 lead Finland had at one point.
Yep.
Yeah. But when USA just decided to take over the game, it just became inevitable, and Finland couldn't get the puck back. And it's hard to take over when you can't get possession of the puck for more than 2 seconds. But outside of that 30-minute span where he had an opportunity to shine, he didn't really do so throughout the tournament. He's another player I kind of wanted a little bit more from. How about you? What was your take on Hellenius?
Yeah, no, I agreed. I agree with you. I kind of was hoping he would take over more, but that's kind of what I've always thought of him. He's just a good facilitator. He's not going to be the guy who takes over and dominates games. That's what I've seen from him in the past, and that kind of stayed the same. We're running a little low on time, so let's jump over to Team USA,
Oh,
Pete.
sure. Yeah, we could talk all night on them.
Yeah, well, we only have like 10 minutes.
All
So
right.
the main guy I wanted to talk about that I was really impressed with is Danny Nelson. I thought Danny Nelson was a decent two-way guy. He was always a defensively responsible forward, but I honestly did not think that he had that much offense in him. He made some very nifty plays, some slick passes. He scored some big goals for them. Four goals. I mean, more goals than assists was not something I had on my bingo card for Danny Nelson. And you could see that he actually was taking over second line center duties from Oliver Moore. The coaches were trusting him more. They was giving him more opportunity, and not just defensive opportunities, but offensive opportunities. And that was really kind of surprising to me. Now, he's had a good season at Notre Dame, 13 points in 18 games. Nothing too exciting. And this may be just a blip, but I wonder if there's more offense here. And the security of Danny Nelson making the NHL to me is just sky high. So I am impressed with him, and I think there's maybe a little bit more than I initially gave him credit for.
Yeah, I've liked him for a while now, but This exceeds my expectations for his play in this tournament as well. I thought he'd be more of a defensive depth player. Another concern I have with him is the fact that he's a New York Islanders prospect. So, that doesn't make me feel super good. But moving along, one player I think we have to talk about Cole Hutson here led the tournament in scoring, the first defenseman to lead the World Juniors in scoring outright. We've talked about him at pretty much every episode, him or his brother every episode for the last year now, it seems. And they never fail to disappoint. And I think I look at this tournament as a statement tournament from Cole Hutson, that he is every bit as good as his brother, who is kind of taking over the NHL's rookie scoring lead right now. And you got more of that coming in Cole Hutson. I think he's proven to me that if Lane can do it, anything Lane can do, Cole can do or do better. And this is a legitimate NHL prospect with tremendous fantasy upside. Height be damned. Other Americans, I mean, I really was impressed with Cole Yzerman. Here's a player who's a top six player on every team he's on, and he comes into this tournament and he's the 13th forward in games and he gets used sparingly and on the power play. And despite that, he has 7 points in the tournament and scored some really big goals for US in situations where they really needed a goal. And then I have to quickly also mention Zeev Bouyam. All he does is win, right? Like every championship game he's ever played in, he's won. He's like the American version of Scott Niedermayer. He just wins. I can't believe he wasn't the first or second defenseman picked in the 2024 draft. Minnesota's got themselves a really good one there.
I would say I was beside myself when the Sharks passed on him to take Sam Dickinson, but you were beside me and we were both in awe. Could not believe that it wasn't Zeev. I will forever not understand that because, like you said, all Zeev does is win. And he wasn't maybe as impressive as, point wise, but he played so many minutes. He just shut the other team down. And I think you have to give a major assist to David Carl because that game against Finland was going terribly until they put Zeev and Cole together and they said, go win the game. And they did. You saw Zeev with the OT insane sauce pass to Steady Tika. Got to shout him out.
Steady
And
Tiga.
then Cole Hutson with the walking down Broadway and just hammering into the corner, like just impressive stuff. So I definitely agree with that. The other guy I wanted to mention, Brandon Svoboda, depth forward, but he had some greasy, nice goals. I don't know. He's a terrier, so you must love him. Oh, he's more of a depth guy, but I think that there's something there in terms of like if you're in a super deep league, like maybe there's some decent depth scoring. But I've seen him live, seen him, Sharks prospects and stuff like that. He's definitely not going to be the top liner guy, but I think he's someone who can and did in this tournament provide some decent depth scoring. But yeah, those are the main guys that I would mention too. And just to touch on Cole, I think you're absolutely right. I mentioned this when I compared the two previously. Cole wants to be as good or better than his brother. He has the inspiration. He's got a little bit of that, I want to show my big brother that I can be as good or better than him. And the other thing he has going for him is he's 6 months younger. So when you look at these stats and people say like, oh, maybe he's not doing as good at BU. Well, he also doesn't have Macklin Celebrini, so that's gonna hurt. And he's always been a lot younger, quite a bit younger. But he's the Hutson who scores the USNTDB scoring record for defensemen. It's not Lane, it's Cole. And I think that's a big feather in his cap. And I think also this relates back to what we said about Villander. The reason Tom Villander doesn't run the top power play at BU is because he's got a Hutson problem. It's either Lane or Cole, always in front of him. He totally can. We saw that at this tournament, but you're not better than Lane or Cole Hutson. You're just not, because almost no one is, quite frankly. So that's not really a knock on Villander. That's just like there are some elite, power play quarterbacks ahead of you. And I think that. We need to remember that. But Cole is awesome. I think he can do, maybe not as well as Lane is doing right now because he is on fire and just lighting up the league and looking fantastic. But I think Cole is, he's got even more snarl to his game and a little bit more of that strong defense. So I think that's going to help him defensively and maybe not quite as offensively gifted and shifty, but you see the shot. Like he has a better shot. And he has just as good of offensive instincts. Maybe not like juke and miss you, but you watch him patrol the zone, and guys are just like terrified to attack him because he will make you look silly. Like he can thread passes through seams, he can turn and get the shot off. Like he's just super dangerous in the zone. I loved watching him, it was super fun.
Yes, it was. It was a super fun tournament. I have to tip my hat to the American roster and their coach. That was a very, very impressive performance throughout the tournament. A deep roster and talented, and they played up to their potential and they won the gold, and quite frankly, they really deserved it. And congratulations to you, Victor, on the fantasy win as well in our little league that we did. Well
Oh
done.
yeah, I forgot to mention that. You
Yeah.
did a, we did a poll and everyone knew that you were going to win, and it turns out
Not.
I think you got last, actually.
I did. No, I didn't come last. I came in fourth.
Out of four, right. Good call. Good call. It's all in how you frame it.
I
Yeah.
was the fourth place winner.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Jesse
who?
did. We got to shout Jesse out. He actually did really well. He almost got me. It was pretty close. 50 to 45. Jimmy had 37 points and you had 35. So some of that came down to games played. I definitely had the most, but only by two over Jesse. But yeah, it was fun, and definitely going heavy Canada did not help you. And me having a
It
few
seemed
of
like such a good idea at the time, though. Those pre-tournament games, Easton Cowan was tearing it up, and Gavin McKenna was looking like he was going to set, records for a 17-year-old, and I got them both. That what could go wrong? Well, we found out.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great tournament, though. It always is, and I'm really happy that the American roster is now a perennial gold medal contender. They're in the gold medal arena with Canada and Russia and US, sorry, Sweden, and now USA is in there too. And Finland, don't underestimate the Finns and the Czechs. So, it's having a more challenging pool is makes for much better hockey. And I'm really hoping that one day we can get the Russians back in here for all the right reasons, that they smarten up and we let them back in, because I really miss them in these tournaments. But yeah, man, the USA won their first gold in 2004, and now they've won like seven since then, with including these back-to-backs right now. And with the amount of players that they can bring back, the three-peat is not out of the realm of probabilities. I mean, they might be the favorites going into the tournament already with the amount of players that they might be able to come back with. So, yeah, good times for the World Juniors. What do you got coming up on EP Ringside, Victor? What do you want to brag about?
Oh, not that. I just want to close it out. What I have on EP Ringside, I have a bunch of prospect guys to talk about. And so definitely, well, it's not EP Ringside anymore. It's E Elite Prospect Stories. They did their
Oh.
shift. So you can find my prospect discussions out there, writing, finishing up on Nikita Artamonov right now. And so check that out over at the Elite Prospect Stories.
Very nice, very nice. Well, I should get going back to work. I got some organizational rankings prospects to work on. So for Dauber prospects, that'll be coming out in the future. Anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode, everybody. If you are interested in more episodes or podcasts like this, follow TPHN, the Hockey Podcast Network, for more shows. The OHL podcast is a good one. I'd recommend that. And if you enjoyed this show, give us a 5-star review, share, like, to follow us on social medias. It's at Farling and 99 and Victor Nuno 12 and at DPR underscore show. That's it for this episode, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the World Juniors as much as we did. Keep your stick on the ice.